Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Stanislav Lapko was living in County Louth with his wife and two sons when the war in his native Ukraine broke out. Along with other Irish-based Ukrainians, he returned home to volunteer as a soldier. He's back in Ireland now and he's on the line. Stanislav, hello.
Hello.
It's very good to talk to you. We spoke a couple of times while you were over there on the television show. You were really in the thick of it at the time, and it's good to hear that you're back and you're safe and sound.
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you very much, though. Yeah, it's great to that you have me on air again. Yeah, it's just to emphasize again how it's important that the situation will happen in Ukraine for the Irish society.
Now, tell me a little bit about that decision, first of all, Stanislav, to volunteer and go back and fight. I mean, you, as I said there, you're living with your family in County Louth. You're working there. It was a huge decision.
It was. It was a huge decision. And it wasn't easy to make, of course, that decision. It took me maybe a few days, you know, of the thinking to make the decision that I will go to the Ukraine, fight for the Ukrainian independence, and to be honest, to announce that decision, that was the hardest part of it. So at work, I don't have a strength, you know, to announce it directly to my colleagues. So I just wrote email just saying that, look, that's what it is. And the decision was made. I have to go there to Ukraine. So please understand all reasons why I made that decision. So I just sent an email, you know, and the next day, it was Sunday. And then Monday, next day, I flew to Ukraine. And to be honest, there was great support, you know, either from the colleagues or company as whole. Of course, there was a problem within a family, you know, because
I can imagine. And you know what I'm going to say to you? You can't email your wife and sons, right? So you had to tell them face to face. And how did that work?
Yeah. Well, again, it took me. I was then kind of on silent. Yeah, I was silent for a day or two, and then finally I pronounced that decision that I gonna go there to Ukraine. I don't know about, I can't say about my sons, but my wife didn't accept that decision. Obviously, I can leave a family just going there and leave everything here in Ireland, you know, all this routine and all whole house and everything else, bills on her, and she be, you know, so she didn't understand fully, and obviously she fully realized consequences of my decision. So I go to Ukraine, and no one knows would I will be back, would I be alive there, or I will be dead there. So she didn't accept the decision. She been, you know, she take maybe a week to her. Mm-hmm. Partially accepted the decision, but it never was accepted fully. So I think if I will go again or whatever, I think made the decision to go again, it would be, she's not going to accept it.
We'll talk about what you might do in a moment, but I want to ask you about what happened when you went there, because you were in danger almost from the start, Stanislav. I know it wasn't organised properly at the beginning, but things did settle down. You were in a unit. Tell us what you were doing.
We were based in Kyiv, and if like main command unit looking for certain number of troops in different area, they call into our battalion, and our battalion send the required number of people to that area. So that's in the beginning. Because the Russian army was so close to Kyiv, we've been on patrolling of Kyiv, you know, on streets or standing on checkout points on different roads in Kyiv. But then when Ukrainian army pushed the Russian army far away from Kyiv, so we've been sent to the north north part of Kyiv region, and then we liberate the villages there, and again liberate the village, and again set up patrolling within the village, set up a check-up points in the village. Mm-hmm. And then,
can I just stop you there? Because I would like to know more about liberating the villages. Are you talking about going into villages where Russian soldiers were stationed, kicking them out and taking over? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, that's what we are doing. Yeah, that's exactly what we are doing. And so, for example, the common union just tell us 2 days' time is going to be we organize the storm on a village. So we got prepared for that. So then we set up intelligence group, which will go over that close to that village. I checked the whole situation there in that village, you know, where is the Russian military machinery based in each whatever streets or part of the village. So it's the most important part of the future storm, because we need to know exactly where is that those tanks and other machinery based. We use the drones, you know, which fly over to the village and spotted all machineries through from the air, and then obviously all that information given to command unit. They make a plan. And then, obviously, whatever changes is required, they're gonna make whatever support we need. In some cases, we need tank support from Ukrainian army, or maybe the helicopters, which is not always the case. Plan was the plan, but then actually action will start. In some cases, it's not going on the plan because the Russians make some changes. We didn't get support what we need, for example, helicopter or anything else, mm-hmm. even small little things.
So you're feeding back the intelligence, and then a plan was formed to try and get the Russians out of these villages. But in some cases, Stanislav, you were going in there and there were Russians hiding in basements. Is that right?
It was. So after, at the beginning, usually how it started, Ukrainian artillery walked right to shelter as much Russian tanks as possible. And then after that half an hour walk, you moved in the village. And obviously, you're searching for the Russian troops around the village. And we're checking every single house, you know, all streets, every single house. Basements, you know, the houses as everything else, and we check in them once, and you know, to the obviously the main goal is to make the village clear from mm-hmm. From
and,
Russian
and
troops.
When the Russians knew that you were there, did they just walk out, or was it difficult to get them to give up?
Well, it's some of them, you know, and not all of them, you know. Some of them obviously leaving them tanks or machinery behind and run away through the forest. Someone's still fighting. Someone is get so much frightened, and then we captured them. Bush in most cases depends which kind of the unit based in a village, the Russian unit based in village. It was different scenario. In some mm-hmm. cases it was intensive fight. In some cases
you're saying you were involved in intensive gunfighting, like street to street, hand to hand combat.
It was in the villages. It's usually when we try to broke in the village, you know, on the borders of the village. That's not in the center of the village. Or usually fight. It's always happened on the outskirts of the village. Once we broken the defense line there, they try to flee away as quick as possible, you know, yes. Try to save their own lives.
But I know, because you showed us the pictures one time on the television, you managed to capture some Russians. How did you treat them? Because I would imagine it's very difficult to keep a unit in order, you know, your own soldiers, because they're so angry at what the Russians have done. Was it possible to keep it respectful?
It is possible. It's hard. It's possible, and it's obviously we all have to follow procedure. We set a procedure there. Once we capture the Russian soldiers, we have to make contact with our command unit, as they organize the the people who just come and collect them, questioning them about Russian army and everything else, and then get them to this designated area when they've been all collected and keep it for the future, because it's some. On some days, Ukrainian army and Russian army are doing exchange, which, you know,
swapping prisoners.
Swap them.
But you would have known that these people, in some cases, would have shot Ukrainians, raped women, like done absolutely terrible things. Was that in your mind as you were capturing these Russian soldiers?
Yeah. Of course it was. And on that situation, there is also my colleagues, just start to talking to the Russians and just asking them, why are you coming here? What are you doing here? We getting so angry, Bush. Nothing we can do about it. We don't want to be the treated from, you know, by... people from other countries that we're doing the same thing that Russians doing it. So it is anger. It is which we expressed in the wars, talking to them, because obviously we in the back we only heard only silence, and when you're looking at them, they looks exactly like ourselves, you know. Then they feeling themselves that they big fright, because they don't know what's going to be future for them. So they looks really, really scared, and they don't look that brave that used to be on the pictures or videos or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe that feeling, anger feel what we have against them, once you saw them, when you saw them, they are really, really afraid for their own lives. So I think... it changed a lot.
Your own family are based in the capital city in Kyiv, are they?
Well, my own family based in the where they was born. It's that region which obviously the region which was sheltered yesterday from Russian missile from Belarus. That's my area when I was born. And my wife's family is living in the outside of the Kyiv, maybe 100 kilometers. Mm-hmm. That area was sheltered 2 days ago from Belarus as well. So, and they all they what was they saying now? It's even worse now than it used to be at the beginning.
And do they think they might leave now, Stanislav?
I don't think so. They're gonna make the decision. If they made the decision before, they're gonna stay in the village, because that's all their life. All their life they're living in the village. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna leave. So, but of course. We have our relatives here who left Ukraine the time when the war started. So they are in our house. But I don't think anyone else is going to move and leave Ukraine.
If they can help it. So what about you then, since you came back? How have you been back at work, back in family life? Is it very strange?
It is. I don't even have the words how to describe. But it's not just myself. We have a chat between ourselves, and everyone is finding some difficulties to adjust for the peaceful life. Everyone has nightmares. Wake up in the morning and thinking, what am I doing here? Why am I not here? Why am I not there? All those thinkings and all in the mind. So, but I think it's what a lot helped me just because I am back to work days after I'm back from Ukraine. It's helped me a lot in terms to adjust to the life as quick as possible. You know, keep myself busy. That was probably the best way to adjust to peaceful life. Get yourself busy, get you back to the work, house routine and all that. So mm-hmm.
And what about going back? You mentioned there that your wife might not accept if you said you were going back again. Would you like to go back?
That's a question I ask myself so many times. And I think maybe it sounds strange, but my mind, my body missing that adrenaline what I have there. That's what I... And you see, every day I'm looking at my pictures which I made there, you know. Every day even on contact with the lads who left in there. And obviously, when the situation is going to worsen it again in Ukraine, I would consider to go back. And I think in terms of my experience, what I have it already, it would be the easy, you know, to adjust there, you know, to that war again, you know, because experience is already here, already there.
Yes, but it's incredibly dangerous. You know, you have a peaceful life in Ireland, you have a job, you have a family. Over there, it's hour by hour. You're taking risks minute by minute.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It's probably that sort of feelings, what you experience there, probably the body and mind remember that, and you might get that thing. Was all right to have that sort of experience, and maybe looking again to that sort of experience. Mm-hmm. It's still in the blood, in the brain, of whatever say, Bush. Yeah, but if situation worsened, and
yes, and when you see the explosion in the shopping centre, does that make you feel helpless because you're in Ireland now?
It is making myself a helpless feeling that, and thinking what can I do here in Ireland? So. Because I'm here, but at least for myself, I know I was there, so it makes me feeling better than I, because I know for myself I was there. I know what it's like to be there, but it's thinking now probably the best way for me to go in the future is to provide as much support and help for Ukrainians in Ukraine from here, from Ireland. Meaning provide the humanitarian aid, something, you know, any products, whatever the Ukrainian people needed there, or even my colleagues, comrades on the front line, whatever they need. So I think would be the best way now is to provide that sort of support that I can organize here.
From Ireland.
From Ireland,
okay,
yeah.
Well, Stanislav, it's really good to talk to you, and I'm glad that you're safe and well and you're back home. And thank you for speaking to us today. Stanislav Lapko in County Louth. Thank you, Stanislav.
Thank you very much.
Today with Clareburn. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.